Just looking back over this past week in the case of the U.S., we obviously had a lot of weakness running through financial markets, running through June and towards the end of the month, and just a bit of a pickup right towards month end. Just last week, first day of July, there seemed to be a bit of a relief rally, and people talking about that being the prospects that maybe the central banks might pause. Well, my answer to that is good luck with that, because basically the data we're getting out of the US still suggests that nothing has really broken yet. We've got some softness running through some leading indicators. Things like consumer sentiment starting to run much softer. But the past data running for May and even for June in some cases is still looking pretty strong. And last week, for example, we had May durable goods orders came out. Market expected they would be up 0.1%. They're up 0.7%. Pending home sales were expected to be down by 3.7%. They were up by 0.7%. House prices in the United States, the most recent reading, up 1.8% month on month, 21.2% year on year. Things like personal income, personal spending. Personal income has been belting along at 0.5% month on month over the last couple of months, and still managed it again for the month of May. And personal spending was up 0.2% after being up 0.6%. And inside those numbers, something which will still be deeply worrying from the Federal Reserve's point of view, we had the personal consumption expenditure deflator. This is probably their preferred inflation measure. The CPI runs quite a bit higher than the PCE. But the PCE is sitting on 6.3% year on year. That's both for April and May. So still indicating that the Fed has a fair bit of work still ahead of it to get on top of the inflation problem. June ISM, manufacturing PMI, came out, and this is going to be a key reading determining when we can see the Fed actually getting to some sort of peak, perhaps, for interest rates, because we haven't had a decent downturn in the US without this particular indicator going well down into the 40s. It's still about 50. It has come back a little to 53 from 56.1, but we have no examples over a long period of time of purchasing managers indices sitting in the 50s and the economy slowing greatly. They've still got work to do to slow demand back to the constrictions of demand. And that's basically what central banks are about, and why there's still risk that we get some surprises for financial markets from what central banks do. In a couple of weeks' time, we'll get the latest CPI in the United States, and it still looks as if it's going to be a pretty high reading. They won't be worrying about that today because they'll be on holiday celebrating Independence Day, so we won't get anything from the US over Monday. But looking out through the course of this week, other numbers that they will be looking at with some interest largely relate to the labour market. So this week on Friday, we get non-farm payrolls for the month of June. And it still looks as if we're going to be running pretty high on things like wages, non-farm payrolls, and still a very, very low unemployment rate. So average hourly earnings for the month of June, they're expected by the market to have lifted another 0.3%. That would temper the annual rate to 5% from 5.2%. But at some point, the wage growth consistent with the Fed's inflation target is around 3%. So you've got to get a lot of weakness running through the labour market before you get anywhere near where the Fed needs to get the inflation rate over the medium term. And it's the same story with non-farm payrolls. They're still moving along at a pretty rapid clip at the moment. They're rising and well above long-term trends. So going back to May, non-farm payrolls lifted 390,000. They're expected to lift another 270,000 for the month of June. And the unemployment rate staying down at that level, which is bumping along the lowest reading we've seen since 1969. So we've still got this very, very tight labour market, which is capable of ensuring that high inflation stays in the system. And this has to break at some point. So the sorts of things we're looking at for, you know, when the Fed can actually start to sort of think, yeah, we've completed our task. Leading indicators, we need the ISM indicators well below 50 and over 2 or 3 months, because they usually have a lead on those around 12 to 15 months. And with the lagging indicators in time, they're going to need that unemployment rate back up to around about the 4 to 4.5% mark. It's currently at 3.6 at the moment. It's straining to go lower. So, you know, these are the sorts of things that we're watching over time. Then we move to China. And there's some differences between various economies now. One of the remarks, huge differences in financial market performance in June was that just about all major equity markets and credit markets had a very, very weak month. As far as equity markets were concerned, you know, they were down about 8 or 9% for most of them just during the month. And as we've heard, you know, the US, its equity market has had its worst first half of a year since 1970. So it's sort of, you know, and this is all because the weakness in economic growth lies ahead. You know, we're waiting for the central bank to break something. Then you've got the earnings readjustments, which will come through with a rush through the equity analysts. At the moment, you know, they've still got them looking, even though they're downgrading them, they're not downgrading them anywhere enough for what's likely to happen to the economy. China's in exactly the opposite position. And so China's been through its slowing. It's now in a position where, you know, they can start to look at somewhat easier monetary policy. They have been starting to look at easier monetary policy. And they can actually lift government spending somewhat. They're in a unique position there. You know, their slowdown's almost over, whereas everywhere else it's still ahead of us. And so that's why, you know, if you had Chinese equity markets, even though China's now become a bit of a pariah because it's so close to Russia, and you'd think they should harm things, no, they had a bolter of a month for their equity market, up over 8%. So you get this difference between the performance of various economies depending what stage of the cycle they're at. And we're seeing that a little bit in their PMIs. They were down in the 40s for their PMIs, and these came out last week. They've edged up above 50. So the June manufacturing PMI, the official one, went up from 49.6 to 50.2. The Caixin, which is looked on as being a more reliable manufacturing PMI, went up even more, from 48.1 to 51.7. And the non-manufacturing PMI has actually lifted from 47.8 to 54.7. Now, this is not to say that China won't get some more weak data. It's going to get a horror GDP in just about a week's time. But that's back to the, you know, the second quarter. It was in the middle of the second quarter that they reached something of a bottom for their economy, and they're starting to show some signs of just lifting out the other side. This week in China, we'll get the Caixin non-manufacturing PMI. This one was horrible last month. It was down at 41.4. We'll probably lift. May not get to 50, but it's going to be lifting well and truly up through the 40s. And the clincher is, you know, just look at the Chinese CPI. It comes out at the end of this week. You know, everywhere else around the world, you're looking at CPIs which are, you know, north of 6 and 7%, knocking on the door at 10% in places like the UK. In the case of China, the CPI, the June CPI, looks as if it'll come in around about 2.2% from 2.1% a month before. In other words, it's low enough for the central bank to be able to ease policy. That's unique. It's not happening anywhere else. And so that's where you get this difference in financial market performance. Producer prices too, which in China were running at tens, even with the supply constraints and the problems they've had getting on top of Omicron, they have lifted, but that they're holding, we think, around the 6.4% year-on-year mark. Now, you know, compare and contrast with the US, which is at 11, and Europe, which is at 37%, and you get some idea of some of the differences, so which are just running through some of these major economies. Australia last week, and again, we got a bit of a reminder that it's going to take a bit to get on top of this economy. Yeah, we got the beginnings of some softness in housing, but what we saw from the house price data at the end of last week is it's predominantly the two big cities where house prices are starting to come off, that's Sydney and Melbourne. We've still got examples of regions where house prices are still rising and rising quite strongly. And you know, amongst those was Adelaide, which had a very, very strong rise. You've got it through Tasmania, still showing some strong rises. So you know, some of these other markets are taking time before they're starting to be affected by interest rates starting to go up. Yes, it's starting to hurt in the big capital cities, and they're starting to come back. But some of the other data we got in Australia is still very, very strong. We had May retail sales came out, another record month for retail sales. What they were expected to be up 0.4%, and many of us, you know, a lot of the banks had minus signs on their expectations. You know, they thought confidently that we were going to see some sort of pullback. We've got nothing of the sort. We got a rise of 0.9% after 0.9% the month before. So still got a lot of spending running through this economy. And private sector credit came out too, and that's holding up pretty well too. It's running along at 0.8% a month at the moment, and we're still 0.8% for the stock of credit running for the month of May. This week in Australia, today we'll get things like the ANZ job ads for the month of June. These are just about up at record highs too. We're up 0.4% last month. We'll wait and see what it is for this month, but you know, maybe okay. Another figure we get today is Toronto Dominion do a monthly inflation gauge, which gives us some indication of what may be lying ahead for us in the CPI. Going back a month ago, the monthly inflation gauge went up 1.1% in a month. We'll wait and see what it shows for this month. It's probably going to be up pretty heftily again. That means we've got an outsized CPI read ahead of us for the second quarter. That will come out at the end of this month. So still looking to get full details on just how high inflation will run. But we've got another problem then that runs the quarter after that, because the excise on petrol goes back on again. So there's a few items ahead of us, which mean that Q2 and Q3 CPIs are going to be pretty ordinary for us, and are going to add to, you know, the pressure for the Reserve Bank to do more rather than less. We get May home building approvals come out today. They should come back again, down 1.8%, we think, from down 2.4%. Tomorrow we get the RBA decision, and I can't see how they're not going to do another 50 basis points now. You know, they've said that, you know, they just want to try and get on top of this, get up to what they think is a neutral rate for where they think inflation is going to pan out. They've nominated that that's around 2.5%. Without, you know, risking breaking things too much, you know, they'll have an eye on what's been happening in the housing sector. They'll probably give us another 50 basis points at this meeting, which will take the cash rate up to 1.35 from 0.85%. That's fairly much expected in the market. A negative surprise will be if they go up 75 basis points, but I don't think that's going to happen at this particular meeting. We get international trade data comes out on Thursday. This is still running pretty strongly. Going back to the month of April, we ran a $10.5 billion trade surplus. It looks as if we ran another $10.6 billion trade surplus for the month of May. So the external sector, particularly in terms of values, is still giving us a big boost. Now, just moving briefly to Europe. And again, this interesting story. You've got a central bank there, the ECB, who really will have to do some catching up at some point, because past economic data is still running reasonably well in Europe. Yes, there's fears that, you know, we're going to get this downturn ahead of us, and in their case, it's driven largely by escalating energy prices and the problems dealing with, you know, the sanctions they're going to be imposing through these coming months against Russia. But things are holding up. So we've got June business and consumer confidence came out. it barely came down. It's a reasonably strong reading at 105.0. It came down to 104. That's still pretty high. And the May unemployment rate, everywhere around the world, we're short of labour. And no less so in Europe. The unemployment rate there came down from 6.8% to 6.6%. That's a 25-year low point. And we have examples within Europe. We'll get their individual unemployment rates over the next month. But we have several of the eastern countries in the European Union who have unemployment rates in the twos. Germany's at three. This is a pressure point there for wages. You know, labour is in scarce supply just about everywhere. And we're going to get the June CPI, June CPI came out last week. Went up again to 8.6% from 8.1%, so very, very high CPI. And this week in Europe, we'll get the producer price index coming out, and it may edge off a little, but it's still going to be very, very high. So it may come back to just under 37% year-on-year, from 37.8% year-on-year going back the month before. So still a lot of pipeline inflation running through. We'll also get May retail sales, which looks as if they actually lifted perhaps by 0.4%, and Centix investor confidence, which is shot largely because investors are looking ahead, and they're looking ahead to, at some point, these strong economic conditions are going to disappear. But these same strong economic conditions we're getting at the moment are keeping the fire burning underneath inflation just about everywhere, and they're just putting that pressure behind the central bank. So what it means is that, you know, the every now and then, you know, after you get some pretty horrible times running through financial markets, you get a bit of a relief rally where a few optimists put their head up and say, oh, yeah, it's almost over. Central banks are going to blink. They won't push interest rates up much more. Unfortunately, the risk is that the sort of data we're going to get over the next month or two is going to push them even harder. I think we're going to get a fair bit of volatility running through financial markets because of that as we go out over the course of the next month or two. And bearing in mind that at some point they have to break something, the central banks, and it's going to be very, very difficult for them to dial a soft landing for many of these economies to get on top of the inflation that they're facing. So, there's still a fair bit of volatility ahead.